From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kasakwi strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwi in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwi.
Paid up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth, Sunbird.
Now, here's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Kentucky Downs. Happy to have you with us on this first Saturday in the month of July, meaning we are just a few days away from the 4th of July and Independence Day in the United States. But before we get to that point, another Independence Day to talk about, so to speak, because we are broadcasting live from Woodbine in Toronto, Canada. And today is the day that Canada celebrates a very special day in their history, 150 years of independence for Canada. So the 150th anniversary, also the 250th anniversary of the great sport of horse racing here north of the border in Canada. So a very happy 4th of July prelude here on the Equine Forum, and a very happy Canada Day to all of you joining us north of the border here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, and our good friend and colleague, former jockey, now racehorse owner, Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing. We are with you trackside, literally, from the rail to your radio here this morning. A few clouds overhead, but the rain's supposed to hold off till later this afternoon. Tomorrow, the 158th running of the Queen's Plate, Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby, should be a good one, and we're happy to have you with us for the next 2 hours this morning. JT? Welcome, my friend. Back to Canada.
Thank you. Maple leaves everywhere. It's a great day here in Toronto, and looking forward to some good racing this afternoon and then Queen's Plate tomorrow. Great time to be in Canada. Lots of celebrations going on. Everybody's at a fever pitch for the festivities.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, great racing, and we are happy to bring you that coverage tomorrow, by the way, beginning 4 o'clock Eastern, 4 to 6. You can join us for our coverage of the Queen's Plate. Jeff, we came here for the first time last year, and great experience. We saw Sir Dudley Diggs get the victory in last year's Queen's Plate in the red and white colors of Ken Ramsey. Julien Leperoux was aboard. The Ramsey's not back this year, but Julien Leperoux is, and that should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, now that he's got that first Queen's Plate under his belt, he's coming back for more, and certainly he wouldn't mind getting himself another one. And Ken Ramsey, I'll never forget, walking out towards the winner's enclosure, almost getting run over by Sir Dudley Diggs as he was trying to get a hold of him. It was quite the scene. You know, it's,
he didn't care. He had the exact he had a whole bunch of money to win.
He would have felt no pain.
3,000 to win, I think he said. Didn't he tell you that? I bet 3,000 to win on it.
He was trying to do two things. One, look at all of his tickets that he had, and also get the horse into the winner's circle, and I'm not sure which was more important.
He shouldn't multitask when he comes to leading a horse.
Especially with a horse standing on its hind legs.
The part that struck me in that post-race interview last year was when he talked about the Queen watching, and he was all excited because he's never gotten to meet the Queen in all of his trips to Royal Ascot, and he figured that she was watching the Queen's Plate, and that was enough for him.
Well, yeah, sure. And as far as he knew, the Queen was watching. So.
Yeah. We'll just go with that.
It was like midnight at Buckingham Palace, wasn't it?
Why wouldn't she be watching Ken Ramsey walk Sir Dudley Diggs into the winner's circle?
You know, I guess it's appropriate that since this is the Queen's Plate and so much nobility and royalty surrounding this event, that the morning line favorite for this year's running of the Queen's Plate would be a filly. And she's a pretty good one. That's Holy Helena, who races in the colors of Frank Stronach's Stronach Stables. Now, she is a daughter of Adina Spring stallion Ghost Sapper, and her grandsire is 1997 Queen's Plate winner Awesome Again, another Adina stallion. So those roots run deep, and the Queen's Plate winning connections run deep as well, JT.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic group of people involved with this filly. And we got to see her yesterday over at trainer Mike Doyle's barn. He's been deputizing for Jimmy Jerkins, and he was nice enough to take us in the stall. And boy, what a great-looking filly. Her coat is just glorious.
Beautiful.
And she looks like she's ready to run a big one.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we tweeted a picture yesterday at HRN on Twitter. Mike Doyle took us to the stall, and he got into the stall with her, and he was kind of rubbing on her nose and her face, and she was very playful. She was kind of snuggly, and she would snuggle up against him, and he would kind of rub on her nose, and she loved it. And we tweeted that picture yesterday. It got great response. If you want to see it, head over to at HRRN on our Twitter feed, and you can check out that picture from yesterday. People loved it. You know, unlike the Kentucky Derby, where there have only been three fillies to have ever won the race, the Queen's Plate has been pretty good to the ladies. As a matter of fact, 35 fillies have captured the Queen's Plate, the most recent being Lexi Lou for Mark Cassie in 2014.
Yeah, Lexi Lou, she was Cassie's first Queen's Plate winner and went on to be champion filly, and we'll see if this filly can follow in the footsteps.
Why do you think the fillies have had so much success here, Jeff, in this race?
Good question. I mean, we've seen some very talented fillies that have run in the Queen's Plate, and so maybe they've been handpicked, the ones that those trainers, the connections, have decided to run in the race, and definitely Holy Helena is no exception. I mean, she definitely is a lightly raced filly, but she was very dominant in the Oaks here, her first test over a synthetic surface. So clearly, not only was she much the best that day, but they got a good test to see whether or not she handled the surface or not. And as far as the fillies, though, I really don't have an answer other than maybe there's just been some very talented fillies that they've decided to put in there.
I've got an answer. I think because it's a restricted race, sometimes the best filly of that crop of Canadian breds, sometimes a filly is the best of the crop. So because it's a restricted race, the cream rises to the top. 35. Now, we were talking about this yesterday with the publicity department here at Woodbine, and they had said that the race conditions had changed many, many times over the years. And what they're stressing is that I believe six Oaks winners have come back to win the Queen's Plate. So that's what they're looking at. They call it the modern era of racing.
Yeah, about the mid-1950s, I guess, is when.
Yeah, 59, I think. Yeah. He's 1959.
Yeah, her main challenger may be Channel Maker, who is second choice on the morning line at 4-1. Now, Channel Maker is sent to the post by Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. And Bill Mott, as you know, has won nearly every major Great Estakes race throughout North America, at least in the United States. He's won more than 4,700 races in his Hall of Fame career. This is the very first time Bill Mott has ever saddled a Queen's Plate starter. So that in itself is kind of cool.
Oh, it certainly is. And look, you said Bill Mott's virtually done everything there is to do in this game. You know, also interesting to note, the jockey, Rafael Hernandez, had, it looks like, a number of options in this year's edition of the Queen's Plate and decided to stay with Channel Maker, so another validation point, I guess, for that horse.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. Number one, Channel Maker, 4-1 on the morning line in tomorrow's Queen's Plate. And we're also going to see Chad Brown and Javier Castellano. You remember them? They've won so many races in the States and all over the world together. Well, guess what? They're back here in the Queen's Plate with number five, Inflexibility, who is 10-1 on the morning line. And we'll talk more about Inflexibility and all the other contenders as we move throughout the two-hour program this morning. Going to be a busy 2 hours, so we're going to get to it shortly. Ed DeRosa from TwinSpires.com is going to be with us to talk about the Queen's Plate and some of the other stakes races maybe on the program tomorrow. There are some good ones. We'll talk to Ed about that and his experience here at Woodbine. You're going to hear from jockey Eureka Rosa da Silva. And Eureka, one of the nicest guys that you're ever going to meet. He took the time to visit with us on the backside yesterday. And Eureka will be aboard Tis a Slam in tomorrow's Queen's Plate. Now, Tis a Slam is sent to the post by dual Hall of Fame trainer Roger Atfield. And he's in search of a record 9th Queen's Plate victory tomorrow afternoon. It would be his first win in the race since 2008 if he can pull it off. But we talked to jockey Eureka Rosa da Silva yesterday, and you'll hear that interview coming up 9 o'clock Eastern. Catherine Day Phillips is back in the Queen's Plate, one of the classiest people in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and she comes from great bloodlines, and she's going to be with us at 9:20 Eastern time today. So stay tuned for that. She has two horses going in the Queen's Plate. And then we're going to spend some time talking about the Summit of Speed down at Gulfstream this afternoon. We'll be joined by Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, toward the end of the program, 9:40 Eastern. Stay tuned for that. So we will cover you on that front, too, from South Florida. A lot of things to get to this morning. We will kick it off next. Ed DeRosa on the other side of this break, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new Greatest Stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
HRRN is going north of the border with exclusive coverage of the Queen's Plate. Live from Woodbine Racecourse in Toronto, Ontario. Tune in beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern as we bring you complete coverage of Canada's oldest thoroughbred horse race, the Queen's Plate. Tomorrow, only on HRRN. Presented by TwinsBuyers.com. Go to HorseRacingRadio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Inflexibility now off the inside and making ground is Ghostly Presence, turning in the Oaks and its endstone, tackled by Mythical Mission. And Mythical Mission on the outside reached the lead, tackled in turn by Holy Helena. It's Mythical Mission, Holy Helena, ranging up on the outside, and they will battle out the Oaks. Holy Helena getting the better of Mythical Mission. Holy Helena a half, and now almost a length, and the Woodbine Oaks is going to Holy Helena. Holy Helena by a length, Mythical Mission. Four lengths away, Inflexibility got up to run third from Endstone. Then came Cinderella and Ellen Vannon.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Jeff Bloom, and our producer, my beautiful wife, Michelle. We are all with you trackside from the rail to your radio here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Robert Geller with the call of the Woodbine Oaks right here on June 11th, and Holy Helena getting the victory that day for trainer Jimmy Jerkins. She's 2-for-3 lifetime, and tomorrow in the 158th running of the Queen's Plate, she'll take on the boys for the first time, and she will look to become the 36th filly to win Canada's most prestigious horse race. And you're going to hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage tomorrow kicking off at 4 o'clock Eastern, all presented by our friends at TwinSpires.com. And joining us now from TwinSpires and from Briss is our man Ed DeRosa, who you can catch every Thursday night with the Big A Anthony Stabile on our BrissNet.com call-in show, which airs on Sirius 219 XM 206, and that airs from 6 to 7 every Thursday. How about that? Did I get it all in?
I think so. I love that. I love doing that show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
You've had a lot of good ideas hiring Michelle, probably one of the better ones. But
oh, you don't have to suck up to her just because she's standing next to you.
After that, though, that call-in show, I'm really glad BrissNet had a chance to be in on the ground floor, because I encourage everyone, if you like, honest chatter, the Big A is, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve, so he and I have some good banter, and of course, getting the fans to call in makes it all the more fun. So Thursday night, 6 o'clock Eastern, give us a listen, and give us a call.
Yeah, give him a call. Happy Canada Day, eh?
Thank you. 150.
I noticed none of our crew has red on.
No.
I have a red tie planned for this
all right.
afternoon.
You have a
That's
red
what I,
Bloom Racing logo
I do.
On your...
Yeah, I got yelled at this morning waiting in that long line behind all the Canadians dressed in red because I didn't have any on.
Do you get pinched like St. Patrick's Day?
She kind of elbowed me.
Yeah. Oh, that's not true. I just like getting to say sesquicentennial.
That's a tough one.
Now, yeah. Remember, he's a former jockey. You got to dumb it down a
little bit. 150
years. 150 years. Yeah.
No offense to all of our jockey friends out there, by the way.
We'll never get another jockey interview.
Mike keeps saying no offense when he makes these jockey comments, but I think we're going to start taking some offense.
Oh, man. So, Ed DeRosa, you looking forward to the Queen's Plate tomorrow or what?
Very much so. I've been to the Queen's Plate of America, the Kentucky Derby, many times. So, looking forward to seeing the Canadian version up here. And been fortunate enough to come to Woodbine a couple of times for the Woodbine Mile. Saw Wise Dan and Teppin. And even with those big stars in a Grade 1 race, the Queen's Plate is what everyone talks about around here. It's their biggest day, so I wanted to check it out, and here we all are. I'm really looking forward to it.
Does Holy Helena pull it off?
It was funny. Before I went on Steve Bick yesterday, I hadn't heard a single person who had picked her, and I was starting to wonder if she'd actually be the favorite. And then I think she's his pick. And then two other people since I've been here said they're going to play her on top. So I guess she will be the favorite, but I'm against, bringing up the American thing again, you know, for us, the Queen's Plate, we sort of recognize what it is, know why it would be important to them. But for a lot of the U.S. players who might be tuning in on Twin Spires, they're going to see a 13-horse evenly matched field, and this is absolutely a race, if you have an opinion, you want to get in on, because I have a feeling you're going to get, whatever your opinion is, the board should support making a wager on it. So I'm against the favorite. It's a race I'm looking forward to playing.
Yeah, it's a very wide open, evenly matched field. Some interesting horses, too. I mean, horses that you wouldn't necessarily see run in the Kentucky Derby, like the horse that's only had one start, Aurora Way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Aurora Way actually might have a chance in here. The race was good. His Briss late pace number was excellent. So, you know, when you have a horse like that that is going to draw attention, and people have talked about him to us during the week, they were impressed with him, and he's trained good since his victory. So that is a situation that we're not used to, really.
No. Yeah, and Julian getting aboard, certainly a big vote of confidence. And Dawn Lupo, who I spoke with earlier this week, is the track handicapper here. I know she, after the maiden race, told me she asked the trainer if they would consider the Plate because she thought it was an amazing performance. So definitely turned some heads. I'm weary. I mean, this isn't the class of a race is the Derby, but still, mile and a 16th to a mile and a quarter, second career start. Jude, you'd know more about horses' ability to handle something like that, being around them. But to me, at the price, that's a little bit of a stopper. I mean, is a bomb, maybe you could take a flyer if you think the talent's there. But is a, what is she, or he, third,
six to
fourth
one.
Choice on the morning line?
Yeah.
That seems to be one maybe you try to beat.
Yeah, according to his trainer, Stu Simon, he had a great quote earlier this week where he said that even though he only has the one start under his belt, he's fit enough to run to the Rockies and back. So I think that would get it done
that's,
in here.
That's a long ways from here.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they are throwing a lot at this horse, clearly. I do like seeing Julian Leperu make the way up here to ride a horse like that. But also, you know, in the equation is first time against winners, and not just winners, but quality horses up here in Canada. So the horse looks like a very nice horse. It's a tall task, though, to overcome. There's a lot of things there that really draw a big question mark around.
Yeah, and last year, one of the reasons I was so against Destin, who I thought showed a lot of talent in his Tampa Bay Derby win, but like I said, 8.5 to 10, to me, it just seems like a lot to ask. It's not like you're going 6 to 8.5. So, you know, that's an angle for me at the price, but, you know, it's that type of race where you're not going to be shocked when, or I'm not, if Holy Helena beats me, but there's just some there's some juicy numbers on the board.
Well, something else we're not used to seeing in the Kentucky Derby picture, so to speak, that we're going to see in the Queen's Plate tomorrow is a maiden taking on winners, trying to win his first race against the quality of field like this. And you have one 50-1 morning line on Vaughn, who is number 10 in tomorrow's Queen Plate. His connections are pretty confident. They feel like they have an opportunity to pull off an upset in here. And, you know, there have been two maidens to have won the Queen's Plate in that Triple Crown era, but the last to do it coming in 2000 would scatter the gold. We'll see if Vaughn is up to the task.
Yeah, I mean, you know, $1 million Canadian, maybe they think they have a shot at a slice for a check. I mean, a win, legitimately, that would be a shock to me, but you know, one of my favorite movies is Major League, so I'm happy to have a horse named Vaughn, even though more likely named for, I think there's a village around here of that name and an outlet shop, so probably more related to that, but, you know.
That wasn't his original name. Did you know that? His original name was Conquest Zipped Up, and then he was purchased last November at the Conquest Stables Dispersal at Keeneland, and they changed his name to Vaughn.
I could add some fun with Conquest Zipped Up, too.
Yeah. That reminds me of last night.
What do you mean? Ed DeRosa with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs. Ed, of course, with TwinSpires.com and with Briss. And all of our coverage tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, presented by TwinSpires.com. How about Mark Cassie? Ed, he comes here with two starters, King and His Court, and State of Honor, who we actually saw in the Kentucky Derby.
We did, and I think I'm sure they're hoping that they don't have a similar finish as the Kentucky Derby, but I would expect a similar trip. I mean, A, he's capable going to the front end, and B, there's really no other horse in the race that's shown an affinity for racing on the lead. There are a few pressers that I'm interested in, but State of Honor is going to try to carry him as far as he can. And, you know, some people might see that mile and eighth and say, well, he couldn't get it done there when he had every license to. And I agree. I mean, that seemed to be the time. He's not for me, but I will say I have seen it. When you stretch out, fractions get softer. Horses, you know, they want to wait. Sometimes you get away with more the longer you go. So, I mean, there's a chance only because he does figure to be lone speed. But, again, Cassie, you know, is going to take money. He's a known name. It's just one of those situations where I'm going to let him beat me.
He was one of the horses, if you guys remember, that was somewhat of a buzz horse around Churchill Downs throughout Derby Week. He was training really well. He looked the part, and a lot of people thought maybe he could be one to pull off the upset. Well, we know that didn't happen because he finished 19th of 20, and he was beaten 45 lengths.
Yeah, and I think Mark was high on him, too, after coming out of the Florida Derby and running such a big race. And he was one of the, I would say, top 10 out of the big field in terms of how the horses were coming into the Kentucky Derby. The horse could not have looked any better. In fact, as each day went on, he got stronger coming into that race. Kentucky Derby is a wild card anyways, especially for a speed horse. And looks like he came out of the race in good shape, obviously, coming back and running and doing well.
I do like that he's running since.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, not to sound conspiracy about it, but given that they had Classic Empire, I'd feel comfortable saying State of Honor ran the race they wanted him to run. And you know, it didn't soften up Always Dreaming as they had hoped, but, you know, to me, that I understand the strategy.
Well, he just isn't a stayer.
Right.
And as you travel around the barn area like we did yesterday and talk to trainers, and you ask him, you know, what does it take to win the Queen's Plate, the number one thing, 100%, is the horse has to be able to get the mile and a quarter. They have to be a stayer. This horse, he's really proven he's not a stayer. He can't go a mile and an eighth, which is a distance that separates the men from the boys, so to speak. And then he proved he can't go a mile and a quarter. So I just, for me, he's a toss.
Well, what about the other Cassie horse, King in His Court, who has a home field advantage? He's raced here at Woodbine 9 times, has 4 wins, a second, and 3/3. So he likes it here.
He's a cool horse, and he runs hard all the time. His numbers aren't that great. He's not flashy. He's the typical blue-collar horse. He gets the job done. We actually had him on our fantasy team for Churchill Downs,
yeah,
and got some points from him. He's a hard-knocking horse. He had a little bit of a hiccup there for a while. He wasn't doing well, but he's come back and run well. He's the kind of horse that scares me because I've always kind of liked him, but I really don't want to bet on him.
Right. I kind of feel the same way, and I love the name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
If he wins, they need to be selling shirts of a horse throwing a softball. But, yeah, another one not for me. Just, you know Cassie's going to take money. The trip-wise last time, he may have won with a better trip, but it just seems like a few others are better, and the numbers indicate that.
You said a few of these horses are not for you. Who is for you, Ed DeRosa?
Well, I picked Guy Caballero on top. I'm going to believe the plate trial at 20-1, and normally I don't like going to the well if I miss a long shot, but a lot of times those horses take too much money. But here with the filly and the Mott shipper, Cassie, the flashy maiden we talked about, I definitely think we're going to get the 10-1 morning line on Guy, and I think that's fair on a horse who I think will get the mile and a quarter and beat a lot of these in the plate trial. So to me, the price is right, and we know Catherine can win this race. So 10-1, why not? And the added bonus is I had never familiarize myself with SCTV before coming across this name, and everyone has told me that my sense of humor, there's no reason I should not be watching this show or watching the old show, so
yeah.
Hopefully that'll be a benefit to come from it as well as my wallet.
Yeah, Second City Television Network, of course, Guy Caballero, named for the president and owner of that fictional network. He was nicknamed Chaos as a 2-year-old, was Guy Caballero, because he was one of those horses that when he would come down the shed row, everybody would scatter. And Catherine was quoted earlier this week as saying they would do that for months. And then he finally started to calm down a little bit. But when he would go to the post in the afternoon, he was able to channel that energy and put it where it needed to be and run extremely well. We're going to get a chance to ask her about that in the second half of the program, because Catherine Day Phillips is going to join us coming up later this morning on the Equine Forum right around 9:20 Eastern time. What do you do with the Bill Mott horse, Ed, Channel Maker? You going to throw him in there?
Yeah, of the horses I expect to take money, that's the one I want most. Numbers-wise, he's certainly beyond fits. I mean, he has some of the faster numbers on Bristnet. Mott shipped in here over the last year with success, so he knows how to get him up here and do well. The mile and a quarter is absolutely no concern to me, especially against this group. So of the likely favorites, that would be one I'm going to lean on.
I love your T-shirt.
Thank you.
You made a trip to Grand River Raceway last night, which is what? Would you tell me, about an hour from here?
Yeah, hour west in Allora, Ontario, and it was the 64th track I visited. So always good to add another to the list. And had a lot of fun. Half mile harness racing, 8-9 horse fields almost every race, and won $5. So
beautiful.
And a T-shirt.
And a T-shirt, yeah, and a hat too. Which I need to start wearing hats because showers are getting painful when I burn my dome.
The T-shirt, by the way, refers to the Bouncy Pony Stakes, which is, I guess, held at Grand River, right?
Yeah, I got to see it live last night.
Oh, it was Bouncy Pony Stakes night.
Yep. Trumpeter won or something with Trump, and the caller said Trumpeter or whatever the name of the guy named his bouncy horse as president of the Bouncy Stakes. So
it's a great six.
That's the best track T-shirt I think I have ever
seen. Wow, high praise.
You know what? We're going to take a picture of that and tweet it out, because we keep talking about it. People can't see it, obviously, on radio, so we'll do
by
that.
By all means.
We'll take a picture.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Ed's T-shirt here, and send it. I think you'll like it. It's kind of funny. All right, what's happening at TwinSpires.com and Bristnet in regard to what we're going to see here at Woodbine over the next couple days?
Yeah, well, Bristnet, if you go to Bristnet.com, a lot of good reports for the weekend racing here, and actually free PPs for today and tomorrow's card at Woodbine. So Twin Spires players already get them for free when they wager, but help our friends from Canada spread the word, get people excited about these races. If you go to bristnet.com, they're free for anyone, just need an account. So check that out and all the other great insight and analysis and speed ratings and all that good stuff. But expecting a big week for them, and I wanted to give out a long shot in the undercard race tomorrow.
Who is it?
Go Bro and the King Edward.
Go Bro.
20-1 morning line, stretched out to a mile and a 16th last time on the Tapeda. Ran okay, just missed second, now cuts back to the mile on turf. Think he has a big shot at a
he
big
was
price.
One of the horses that Mike Keogh said he was insulted at the morning line.
Oh, okay.
Because I asked him about Mega Gray if he was insulted at the 30-1 morning line, because he's actually kind of high on Mega Gray. And he said, Mega Gray and Go Bro, and he named like four horses. He goes, I don't know what. I think my horses are doing great.
Yeah.
So he might be a guy to watch for the long shot.
Go Bro, I like. I'll bet to win at that price. Mega Gray, certainly to me, is one of those in the 13-horse field. Like, if I can beat Holy Helena and the Cassies and get that horse in the Super, absolutely want him. And then Malibu Secret's another one. I'm not sure we'll get 20-1, but I think he definitely fits with this group at a price.
Yeah, good chance to remind you that you can also play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back on tomorrow's Queen's Plate. And here's what you have to do. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You're going to make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in tomorrow's Queen's Plate. That's right, it's a $14 total wager. If your horse finishes worse than third, well, you're going to lose that $14, but it doesn't matter because Twin Spires will refund the entire $14 back into your account. So it is a no-risk $14 bet on tomorrow's Queen's Plate. Check it out, twinspires.com/HRRN. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now
maybe Mega Gray is the play.
I was going to say, now when you have a free bet like that, what's your sort of game theory? Do you like taking the most likely winner?
Oh, yeah.
Just because that's your best chance to cash, even if it's an underlay? Or do you say, I have a free roll, I'm going for the bomb?
Yeah, you got to throw deep. Yeah, you got to throw deep.
Absolutely.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cash some nice
tickets. I go up the middle with the fullback. if it's a free
try
bet.
To pick up the half a yard.
If it's a free bet, my sense is I want the most likely winner because it's not my money. So.
Right. But it kind of is.
But well,
no, I guess it's not because you're going to get it back anyway.
Right.
So.
It's kind of nice when you're describing what's going to happen in the race and you say, well, there's not much speed in here and IRAP's got a lot of speed. And then you put the 7-7 on IRAP. That's a nice day.
Yeah.
and that might be your most likely.
Don't get me wrong. If you actually like a horse, that's your play.
That's what
for
it comes down to.
But I'm definitely not one in those situations where I will reach just to say, oh, it's a free bet. I need to find a 20-1 I like. If I think the favorite is the most likely winner,
I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You're right.
Like, I would have been all in 7-7 on Songbird in the Phipps. I would have had no problem getting 1680 back or whatever it would have been.
Hey, it pays for a couple of beers. Well, maybe one.
Yeah, depends on what track you're on.
Two here.
Ed, we appreciate it, my man. Thanks
for
all your support. Thanks for being here. We'll tell people head over to twinspires.com and get all the information. Get the Brist PPs. We have them in front of us. No reason you shouldn't have them in front of you, too.
It's great information.
Yeah, we'll tweet out that picture of your T-shirt, too.
All right. Later, guys. Thanks.
All right, time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And we're back with more live from Woodbine right after this.
This is the story of a man who, by accomplishment, was the picture of a veritable giant on the palette of the world of thoroughbred racing. From modest beginnings in Pennsylvania to his death at the age of 86, he had experienced unparalleled success in both racing and breeding. The green and white silks of his stable were accountable for four Kentucky Derby winners. He was born December 12, 1859, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where in his early years he worked in steel mills and other industrial establishments. Recognizing very quickly that his future lay in other forms of human endeavor, so to speak, he heeded Horace Greeley's advice to head west to become a part of our nation's then burgeoning westward expansion. He became both a prospector and a gold miner, and in a relatively short period of time managed to accrue enough equity to head for the windy city on the banks of Lake Michigan, Chicago, where he began to invest in real estate. In 1898, at the age of 39, he acquired a small stable of horses as part of following a physician's advice to get out into the open air more extensively. The first horse he purchased was named Fair John, and that horse registered the first win for the soon-to-be-renowned stable at Harlem, Illinois, July 27, 1898. The best of his early stable of thoroughbreds was named Bad News, because it traveled so fast, of course, who was by Flying Dutchman out of Black Sleeves. The horse had been purchased as a three-year-old from Woodford and Buckner. In 1906, he bought a 335-acre tract of land in the bluegrass of Kentucky and expanded his interests into breeding. That farm eventually embraced some 1,500 acres and housed such prominent stallions as Helmet, Black Tony, North Star III, Black Servant, Bubbling Over, Burgoo King, Balladeer, Bimlick, and Blue Larkspur. The name of the farm was Idle Hour Farm and spawned four homebred Kentucky Derby winners, Behave Yourself in 1921, Bubbling Over in 1926, Burgoo King in 1932, and Broker's Tip in 1933. The latter broke his maiden in that Derby win in that infamous stretch duel with Head Play. Other notables from a virtually endless list that came from the Idle Hour Farm just outside Lexington included Baba Kenny, Big Pebble, B-Mac, and Busher. This gentleman accumulated enormous wealth from a variety of vocational interests, including Chicago real estate holdings, extensive newspaper interests, and the Beach Club Casino in Palm Beach, Florida. He was a man widely known for his charity and philanthropy, with extensive involvement in projects such as orphanages and other worthy enterprises. Among his turf-related accomplishments were the development of the Fairgrounds Racetrack in New Orleans as a winter site for thoroughbred racing, and through his breeding stock was greatly responsible for the success of such subsequent luminaries of the world of racing as John W. Galbraith, Edward Morris, and movie mogul Louis B. Mayer. He died at the age of 86 on August 15, 1946, although the permanent influence of this octogenarian on the history and development of the American turf will always be indelibly emblazoned on its most glowing of pages. That man who made the green and white silks of the Idle Hour Farm, the stuff of which legends are made, was a true titan of the thoroughbred world, and his story is indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing. He was Colonel E. R. Bradley.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Racing fans, it's closing weekend at Santa Anita, so come join us for great racing and entertainment as we celebrate America's independence right through closing day, Tuesday, July 4th. As always, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six. Saturday's racing will be highlighted by the Grade Two $250,000 San Carlos Stakes at 7 furlongs and the Grade Three Wilshire Stakes for fillies and mares at a flat mile on turf. Admission gates open at 11 a.m. First post time is at 1 o'clock. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Channel Maker turns in front of the Vandal. On the outside is Fleetway, and running home down the outside, State of Honor and Woodbridge releasing the brakes the widest, and Deep Route is Silent Flash, but Channel Maker in front. Woodbridge trying to cut into the margin, but Channel Maker clear. Malibu Secret is there. It's still Channel Maker by a couple. Woodbridge, Malibu Secret, and on the outside, Silent Flash, Channel Maker by one. Malibu Secret in second, gaining late, but Channel Maker gate to wire. And Channel Maker is first. Second placing has gone to Malibu Secret. Third has gone to Woodbridge, and a foot over him, Silent Flash. And then behind them, King and his court.
Back on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, and Jeff Bloom. We are all with you trackside on a cloudy morning here in Toronto as we come to you from Woodbine, getting set for the Queen's Plate tomorrow, the 158th running. Our coverage kicks off at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, presented by TwinsBuyers.com. Make sure you're with us tomorrow, 4 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's right, that's where you'll find us tomorrow, Sirius XM 93, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, Channel Maker, a big win in the Vandal Stakes here last August. That was at Woodbine, and it was his lone win in an 8-race career. Tomorrow he's going to look for win number 2 as the second choice in the Queen's Plate for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. We'll see if he can pull it off. He'll break from post 1 tomorrow. What do you think? Channel Maker, the most likely horse to upset the favorite, Holy Helena, if it's going to happen? It wouldn't even be a big upset.
No, I think he's got a big chance.
Yeah.
He's coming up to the race nicely. One thing that I like about him that we didn't talk about with Ed, his Brisnet late pace numbers are very good and very consistent.
Strong.
He's a good finisher. I don't think the mile and the quarter is going to bother him at all. As a matter of fact, it might favor him. The way he closed at a mile and an eighth was very impressive, and I think he's got a good shot.
You concur?
Yeah. I look,
you were just nodding your head.
You know, to Ed's point.
It's radio, Jeff. You got to talk.
I concur.
To Ed's point earlier, it is, as is often the case in the Queen's Plate, a full field of very competitive horses. And there's not one horse in here where you say that horse has to win the race. The filly does look very strong in here, but I think there are a number of horses in here that you can make a case for.
Wide open.
I think, you know, and Channel Maker, you know, typically in a race like this, you want to see a horse that likes to win races. This is a horse that always kind of is right there, knocks on the door, but has the one lone win, and that's going back a long ways. I like the fact that Hernandez stays with the horse. That's a good sign, and you've got Bill Mott, you know, and Bill Mott obviously thinks he's got a live shot in here, and why not off that runner-up performance in the Marine last time out. I think there's a number of horses in here, though, that you could say when the race is over, all right, I could have seen that. That's not a huge surprise to me. Pace probably will have a lot to do with it today. But, Jude, I remember last year when we were walking around on the backstretch and you brought it up again today, is that all of the connections, the trainers talk about horses that like to stay. And for whatever reason, going a mile and a quarter here in the Queen's Plate, there's horses that when they hit that 16th mile pole, they're going the other way. And yeah, it's just there's something about that mile and a quarter that is a big separator. We talk about it in the Kentucky Derby, too. And you just don't know whether a horse is going to handle that kind of distance until they find, you know, when you, it gets answered on the racetrack.
Yeah, and this racetrack, and I don't know if it's because of the all-weather surface or what, but you'll see horses, and they'll run a really good mile in an eighth, and then they'll stop like they were shot. I mean, it's unbelievable what happens to some horses. There was a horse last year, and I cannot remember his name, but he loomed up and looked like he was home Jerome. And, man, he hit the eighth pole, and that was all he had. And here comes Julian, you know, on Sir Dudley Diggs. And I think...
Was that the West Point horse?
Was it the West Point horse?
Yeah.
Could have been.
And you looked like a good thing coming in.
Yeah,
there, right?
I loved him. I
scholar
thought
athlete?
And maybe that that's it.
Yeah,
scholar
that was,
athlete.
That was who it was, yeah.
And he looked like he was going to just blow by the field and then Zippo. And, you know, that, it could have been an isolated incident. But you see that a lot in the Queen's Plate. Horses will go and run what looks like a championship race and then nothing the last eighth of a mile. So it's very crucial that a horse be able to finish, be able to stay, get that mile and a quarter.
How do I remember that kind of stuff?
I don't know.
Scholar athlete. I don't remember
you look
what
down
I did
at your
10
chart.
Minutes ago. Right? No, I don't have any notes on scholar athlete.
All right.
Look, I don't. Look, I have... Look, okay, so I had the Brisnet PPs in front of me, right? I have my information on the 150th anniversary of Canada, which is today.
But no scholar athlete.
250 years of racing here in Canada, right? And I had the format for the show.
All right. Wait, well
do,
done.
Do you see anything that says scholar athlete?
Well done. Well done.
Don't get on me just because you're pissed off because you missed your flight. Are you still jet lagged?
I only missed one flight, not two. I caught the second one. So.
What a mess that was.
It was nothing. It was easy. It was a fun day.
You ended up getting here, what, 9 o'clock last night? It was supposed to be the night before, but...
Yes, it was supposed to be the night before.
It did not happen. With all the traveling you've done as a former rider and being all over the world,
one
right?
would think
you have never missed a flight, right? That's amazing to me. That
which isn't really a lot to brag about, not missing a flight, I guess. But you're right. It is a first. I never have missed a flight.
Is it all because you tried to save a few bucks in the economy parking lot?
I was looking after the best interests of the Horse Racing Radio Network and its budget. And boy, did that come back to bite us.
Yeah, yeah.
That extra parking fee would have been a...
We're not sure we got enough money left to get home now. We have to have a GoFundMe page to get us home from Canada.
Yeah, I had to sell the return flight so I could get the incoming.
And for the most part, the food and drinks have been free since we got here.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah. How great have we been treated since we've arrived in Canada? I mean, the folks here at Woodbine, Alex Fanti and his team, they have bent over backwards for us. And they have, not just us, all of the media that has come in to cover this event. And it's such a refreshing departure of what we run into at some tracks that we visit throughout the country, right? It seems like...
we won't mention any names.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes, as a media member, right, you are struggling to get what you need to do your job at different venues. That's just the nature of the beast when it comes to horse racing in the United States. Not like that at every track, but there are tracks where we have to scratch and claw and fight to get what we need. Not the case here.
It's the opposite here.
Other than the fact that we showed up this morning and didn't have our tent set up and didn't have any. So if it rains, we're screwed, by the way, guys, because we're
and by the way, the ominous gray clouds that are overhead.
And the wind blowing towards the grandstand, never a good sign.
Yeah, if we talk fast enough, maybe we'll get done before
the rain.
We can
get through the show before 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Other than that, it's been a wonderful trip so far.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the international venues that we go to always treat us so nicely, and And Woodbine, you know, right at the top of the list. I mean, I was laughing. I was talking about you yesterday, Jeff, because unfortunately you weren't here. But I said, you know, Jeff would get a kick out of this because it's like having a Jewish mother. All they want to do is feed you. You know, it's like, oh, you guys need breakfast? Oh, do you need lunch? And they ask you like 47 times. And, you know, I mean, none of us are sticks. You know, you're the smallest member of the crew. But they're just afraid that we're going to dry up and blow away if we don't get a sandwich or
Italian
bacon and
moms
eggs.
Are the same way, by the way.
Italian moms,
yeah. I grew up in an Italian family. It's the same way.
Same deal. So it's like they just can't do enough for you. And like last night at dinner at Wegg's, which is a off-track betting facility and sports bar. I mean, oh, you know, the desserts here are great. And did you get enough to eat? And order some more appetizers. And I mean, it's like it's insane. I mean, it's fantastic, but it really is a totally unique experience from what we do in the United States.
Yeah,
it is.
And the venue itself, right? Woodbine itself is really, really pretty, and it's so unique. If you've never been to Woodbine, let's kind of paint the picture just a little bit here, guys. We are literally 10 yards, right, about 30 feet from the, not the main track, but the turf course here at Woodbine, because the turf course is on the outside of the main track, which is a complete departure from anything you see in the United States. So the turf course is the first thing you see. Then you go past the turf course. Then there's the Tapeta main track on the inside of that. And then inside of that, you have a third surface, which is for the harness horses when they race the harness horses here. So and now they're adding another turf course, too. They're going to have a second turf course, which is going to be a 7-furlong turf course inside of that.
Yeah, so they're taking out the inside harness track, but also you're leaving out on the backside too. This is a wonderful facility to come and race, but it's also a great training facility because trainers have so many options from which to choose for training in the morning time. You do have the Tapeta synthetic surface. You have a dirt training track that's a beautiful course on the backstretch, and you also have a grass gallop. So it is a wonderful facility. It's a beautiful setting, and the culture here is happy. It's upbeat. And we talk about the Queen's Plate as being such a big deal here in Toronto for race fans, but really it's all consuming in terms of everybody rallies around this event. It's not just a race, but it's an event, and you feel it the second you step off the plane. There's a lot of energy in the air, and everybody's happy and excited and upbeat about this event.
We said that yesterday, Jude. We met some folks that work here at Woodbine, and it seems like everybody genuinely enjoys what they're doing, and they're all out for the better interest of the sport, right?
Absolutely, and I think one of the things that shines through to me is that they're interested in you as a person. They want to know where you're from and what's your function with HRRN, and they ask you questions about you, and it's not like, oh, nice to meet you, you know, I'm running to the copy machine or whatever. Everybody sits and talks to you for a couple minutes when you meet them.
When that comes up.
What's that?
When they ask, you know, what you do and blah, right? I mean, you don't already know. You're not listening to HRN on a regular basis. Well, you don't know who I am.
You're easily offended.
I'm the Baron.
Yeah, that and a quarter will get you a cup of coffee.
I think it's time to take a break.
Thank goodness. We will do that. We're going to get to a break. Busy second half of the show is coming up. More Queen's Plate discussion with special guests. The second half is loaded with guests, and you're probably thankful for that. We'll tell you all about it next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Chiral Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Chiral Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Chiral Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause. A grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they come to the quarter pole. Working in the weeds is Eye of the Leopard. But they come to the top of the way now. Mr. Ferrico's to you. And Mike Smith calls on him for his best. Eye of the Leopard on the outside second. Milwaukee Appeal is third. And Tasty Temptation is fourth. Mr. Ferrico's to you. Eye of the Leopard. And it's those two in a fight to the finish. Who is it going to be? Eye of the Leopard. Queen's Plate Perfection. And it was tight for place between Mr. Ferrico's to you and Milwaukee Appeal.
That's Dan Loisel with the call of the 2009 running of the Queen's Plate. Eye of the Leopard giving Eurico da Silva the first of two consecutive wins in the race. And Eurico is back aboard Tis a Slam tomorrow afternoon for Hall of Fame trainer Roger Atfield, who has won as many Queen's Plates as anybody. He is tied at the top of the list with 8. A victory tomorrow would put him alone atop that list with 9. And should be a lot of fun to see. And, of course, a lot of fun to listen to here on the network. 4 o'clock Eastern, we'll be with you 4 to 6 here on the network for all of that Queen's Plate coverage. I want to remind you that this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, you can tune in to coverage of the Summit of Speed. Now, that is not here on our English broadcast, but our friends in Spanish, HRRN and Espanol, Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, will have that coverage all in Spanish for you, 4:30 Eastern time this afternoon. Here, the Summit of Speed, including those two Breeders' Cup Challenge win-in-your-in races, the Princess Rooney and the Smile Sprint Handicap, and looking forward to that coverage coming up. They also have their Oblando de Ibismo show, which you can listen to at 10 a.m. Eastern after we finish up, and you can do that online, hrnenespanol.com, and it is 2 hours of Spanish horse racing talk. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with
si,
your...
Senor.
being able to pronounce the actual show name.
I'm not really sure I got it right, but
I'm not either.
Roberto's
but it sounded
correct
right.
Me. He'll send me a text in a few minutes, I'm sure, and correct me. So you got to roll the R or something.
It sounded pretty good.
Not bad.
I wouldn't worry about
it's a pass.
It.
So coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to hear from Yuriko Da Silva as he took the time to join us on the backside yesterday. A fun interview with him, native of Brazil, and somebody who has had a ton of success since coming to Canada back in 2004. Catherine Day Phillips is going to join us live. She'll be with us at 9:20 Eastern. She has two horses going in the Queen's Plate tomorrow, and then we will focus on the Summit of Speed with some of that discussion with Gulfstream Director of Marketing Mike Nyman at 9:40 Eastern. So a lot of things to get to. Jeff, one thing I did want to bring up is earlier in the year we were talking about our HRN partnership horse with Bloom Racing Stable. Haven't had a chance to talk about him much lately because he was on the farm, turned out for a little while. He's coming back to the races, hopefully, within the next month or so, maybe 5-6 weeks. And that's a horse by the name of Budokan that people are familiar with. You sent out an update the other day. He is with Michelle Nevin in Saratoga now. He transferred from Jerry Hollendorfer in California. He's now going to be at Saratoga. And looking forward to seeing him get back to the races, maybe at the Spa.
Yeah, the Mighty Budokan. Change in venue. And also, you know, he's just a big kind of young developing horse, and we started pretty quick with him. So he's had some time off. He got a nice little vacation at the farm. Had some little niggling things that were bothering him, nothing major. And so he's come back just a bright, happy, healthy horse. And I saw him a couple weeks ago up at Saratoga, which a lot of trainers, as you know, take advantage of the early opening. They train over the Oklahoma training track. It's busy, but not crazy busy because not all of the horses are there yet.
Yep.
And for a horse that's not going to be running within the next few weeks, say at Belmont or somewhere else in that area, it's nice to have him up at Saratoga. And Michelle's just thrilled with the way that the horse has come around. You know, she started off, brought him in slowly. He's up to regular gallops. He'll get on the Bree schedule very soon. So, yeah, we're excited to have him back, and hopefully here we'll have a late summer return to the starting gate for him. So very excited about that.
There's a date in the late summer on the calendar there at Saratoga for three-year-olds that, to me, I think works pretty well for him.
Yeah,
the Midsummer Derby.
Right.
We didn't win the actual Kentucky Derby
correct.
With him like you promised me when I got involved. But so, let's go win the Midsummer Derby.
Wow.
You can promise that one back to me, and so we'll be even.
I promise I'll pull you out from under the bus.
We'll go shooting from the hip. Yeah, why not? We'll take a shot. Now, we encourage you to head over to bloomracing.com. And learn more about Jeff and his operation. Honest to God, Jeff, this has been a wonderful experience, and you have been spot on in keeping us updated as to what was going on with Budokan, myself, and all the partners. And can't thank you enough for that, and looking forward to seeing him back in action.
It'll be fun to have him back. And he is just a big, fun, beautiful horse to be around, so it makes it fun for the partners to hang out with him.
All right, we're going to go ahead and pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll come back with more. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Laperoux aboard.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Now here's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, live from Woodbine Racetrack here in Toronto. And a very happy pre-4th of July to all of our listeners back in the United States and to all of our friends tuning in north of the border. A happy Canada Day, and a special one, too, because Canada is celebrating their 150th anniversary today. and the 250-year anniversary of horse racing here in this great country. So we are privileged to be here trackside from the rail to your radio to bring you coverage of tomorrow's Queen's Plate, which, if you're not familiar with the Queen's Plate, it is Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby. It is the first leg of their Triple Crown. It is restricted just to Canadian breds. And we have a good one who is the morning line favorite in the filly, Holy Helena, looking to become the 36th filly to knock off the boys in the Queen's Plate tomorrow. Our coverage, 4 o'clock Eastern, and that's going to air on Sirius XM, Channel 93, and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to listen to the Queen's Plate. Make sure you're with us 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow. JT, the clouds that we talked about earlier have thickened here at Woodbine. It is a bit more gray than it was an hour ago when we opened the show, but the rain holding off, and we're hoping it holds off for one more hour because we are in an open-air location this morning, and right next to the turf course, which is on the outside of the main track, the tapeta surface, where they will contest the Queen's Plate tomorrow. Horses still training. We see a couple of workers coming by us now, and really a pretty nice morning all in all.
Yeah, the weather's pretty nice, and yeah. I'm a little bit more gray than I was an hour ago.
I wasn't from sitting through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of our listeners are too. But
yeah, and I'm sure our producer back in Lexington.
So. There's a lot of action out on
it
the track this
fun.
Morning.
We've had a lot of fun here this morning, and yeah. Our friend Ed DeRosa stopped by for an extended visit in the first half of the show. Ed with TwinSpires.com and Brisnet.com. If you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. You can do it later today. You can do it on iTunes as well, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. We talked about Holy Helena. She will be the likely favorite. Maybe not. I mean, she's 3-1 on the morning line, which makes her the favorite now. But once wagering opens, that could all change, as we know. Channel maker for Hall of Famer Bill Mott, who saddles his first Queen's Plate starter, second choice at 4-1, and then Mark Cassie has a couple of contenders. Catherine Day Phillips has a couple of logical contenders. She's going to be with us right around 9:20 Eastern time here in the second half of the show. And Roger Atfield is somebody who you can never take lightly in the Queen's Plate. He's a dual Hall of Famer, a member of the Hall of Fame here in Canada and in the United States. He's in search of his 9th Queen's Plate victory with Tis a Slam, who is a 3-year-old son of Tis now. He will be ridden by Eurico Rosa da Silva, and Eurico is a guy who knows a thing or two about winning the Queen's Plate. He's done it on 2 different occasions, and he was kind enough to take the time to join us yesterday on the backside, and here's what Eurico had to say about riding in the Queen's Plate and Tis a Slam.
Eurico, you've come a long way since that win in the Brazil Derby all those years ago, huh?
Very, very long way. And, you know, I spent like 5 years in Macau also before I came here. And, you know, I'm so happy with my decision to come to Canada. This is a good, very good country for family, and I love the races here.
When you think back to that day in 2009, Eye of the Leopard, and you win your first Queen's Plate, what kind of memories come back to you when you think about that day?
It was a great memory. Is your dream come true, you know, to win the Queen's Plate? Because everybody wants to win the Queen's Plate. And, you know, I my horse was, at that time, it was a very good horse. But, you know, he's in the lazy way. You need to ride him almost the whole way. You need to keep pushing him. You know what? But he get the job done for me, for the team, Samson team. And it was a big privilege.
How about the second one with Big Red Mike? Just as thrilling?
Yes, it was more pressure on that race because the Queen was here. You know, I came from Brazil, and in Brazil we are big in the Queen. You know, we love the Queen there. And it was a big, big pressure, and I really want to win that one. And, you know, I got very lucky that day.
Yes, what's it like for a kid from Brazil to come here, win the most famous race in Canada, and do it in front of the Queen? What was that like?
You know, you just need to work every day. You know, is the race what happened yesterday? I talk about what happened yesterday, but don't mean nothing. And tomorrow don't exist yet. And you know what? Today is the day, and, you know, you need to give your best every day. That is the focus. And but, you know, all I have here is great memories in this racetrack.
You know, the Queen's Plate's been run, well, it will be run 158 consecutive years coming up here on Sunday, and you're one of just 10 jockeys in the history of the Queen's Plate to win it consecutively. What's that mean to you?
Means a lot, you know. I hope I can do again, you know. You never know in this game. Just like I said, you need to keep giving your best, and I hope my horse run very well Sunday and, you know, get the third one.
All right, put me in the saddle with you for the Queen's Plate. 1.25 miles. What's the key to getting a good trip here at Woodbine going 1.25 miles?
The key is first you break well and make sure you give a good trip where your horse is comfortable. You know, don't worry what position he is. And if he's running comfortable, he's going to finish for you because he's 1.25 miles, you know. It's nothing you need to worry too much early in the pace.
All right, so let's talk about this year's horse, Tis a Slam. You've been aboard him quite a bit. As a matter of fact, all but one start. You've won 3 times with him. You get a leg up from an 8-time Queen's Plate winner in Roger Atfield. Tell me about Tis a Slam.
Tis a Slam is doing very, very well. I just gave him a little blow on last Wednesday, and he's doing super, super. You know, I'm very, very happy the way he's going, and plus that I'm riding for Rod Edfield. You know, he's no bigger in Canada than Rod Edfield. He's our master here, and I feel very comfortable, and I feel very happy to be riding for him. And all I want to do now is giving my best that day.
What is it about Tis a Slam that makes him so good and makes you feel like, yeah, we got a pretty good shot to win this thing this year?
He have a beautiful stride. He will finish very well. I have this impression he's going to finish very, very well in the race.
You were quoted once as saying that my heart is in my throat when I win. What does that mean?
That means, I guess, is, you know, what I want to say is like, you know, you have big emotion in that moment, and you feel your heart is in your throat, you know, like you want to yell, you want to scream, and because, you know, you're full of happiness, you know.
Can you put into words what it feels like to win the Queen's Plate?
No chance. You know, it's no words to say. It's a big happiness. It's not only that moment, but, you know, after and after and after.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much, and good luck to everybody.
That's Eurico Da Silva, and he will be aboard Tis a Slam coming up tomorrow. A great, fun interview and a fun person. Good guy to be around, and one of the true good guys in the sport up here. Mike Smith once told us a couple of years ago that when he won the Kentucky Derby, he described it as this moment of silence that overcomes you. You don't hear anything when you cross the finish line for this brief moment. He said, and then all of a sudden, this noise of the crowd erupting and everything that's happening around you just hits you. And he said, it's so overwhelming, and you're just overcome with emotion. And when I asked Eurico to describe what it feels like, he said, no shot. And he talked about having the, you know, that lump in his throat. And he said, you're just so happy. There's so much joy. And I guess that, you know, for a jockey, Jeff, you haven't won the Kentucky Derby. You haven't won the Queen's Plate, but you've won some big races, my friend. Is there that moment that everything just kind of quiets down after you hit the finish line?
Yeah, there is. And the funny thing is, you know, of course, during the course of the race, you're so focused on your riding and it's just another race. You know, you're riding in a race. But then the realization hits you when you cross that finish line. My gosh, I just did this. And it is overwhelming, and it's very difficult. I loved what Eurico said, which I can't put it into words. And it's one of those things, if you haven't experienced it for yourself, it's really difficult to explain to somebody what those feelings are, what the emotions are. And it is. I mean, imagine you're still on the back of a horse going 40-plus miles per hour, but all of a sudden everything just sort of slows way down, and you just have this moment. And I know exactly what those guys are talking about. Not quite exactly the same, not having won a race like the Queen's Plate or the Kentucky Derby, but still, yeah, it's a feeling of, I'll tell you, it's like a drug. You want it again. You know, it's something that you just strive for, you crave, you desire, because it is just an overwhelming feeling of emotion and excitement, enthusiasm, and all that stuff. And, you know, for me, I always sort of watch the jockeys after a big race like that, really the funnest part, because you've already done it, you've gotten through, you won the race, is you're making your way back. You know, you're bringing the horse back to the winner's enclosure, and you know what's coming. You know, the celebration, and you're going to be with the connections, and there's something to be said about that experience.
What about when he talked about riding in a race like the Queen's Plate, mile and a quarter here at Woodbine? He said, just break well, keep your horse comfortable. Don't worry about your position, but just keep your horse comfortable wherever you are. What about that comment?
Well, look, Yuriko's a perennial leading rider here. The guy knows how to win races, yeah, and he certainly knows how to win races here at Woodbine Racetrack. Now, with that said, there are times when you do somewhat have to be concerned about your position, depending upon the running style of your horse. But the reality is, when those horses break out of the starting gate, things change, and they change fast. I think more than anything else, it's not getting in the way of your horse, keeping your horse out of trouble, not impeding your horse's running style. It's a long race. And you can overcome adversity in a race like that because it is a mile and a quarter, and Yuriko knows how to do it. I think also to his point about riding for a guy like Roger Atfield, that instills a lot of confidence in you. Roger has won the Queen's Plate numerous times, and he wins and has won more races than anybody else up here in Canada as well. So it obviously instills confidence in you in riding for a guy like that, and Yuriko's won a lot of races for Roger. I think what concerns me more than anything else is having that image in my head and you asking Yuriko to put you in the saddle with him. And that's not an image that's easy to get out of your mind.
Yeah, you kind of painted the picture as you asked that question.
Wrapping your hands around Yuriko while you're holding on, sitting in the saddle with him.
Yeah. Poor Tizzaslam.
Poor Yuriko.
If you're reading this, the Baron fell off.
Or was pushed off.
More than likely.
You know, one thing I thought was interesting in that article was that interview, rather, was the fact of the Queen being so popular in Brazil and how he felt so much pressure because the Queen's a big deal in Brazil. Now, the Queen is a big deal everywhere, and I think she's a lot bigger deal for people in racing because, you know, we just had the pleasure of watching some fantastic racing at Royal Ascot and the Queen there every day and running horses and enjoying the sport. And, you know, she kind of is the face of international racing. I mean, her and her mother were two women that probably loved horse racing as much as anybody ever has. And it was interesting when I was watching that broadcast that one of the gals that was doing the interviews mentioned that the Queen's calendar is put out every year for her public events, and the first thing that goes on the calendar is Royal Ascot, and it's non-negotiable, she said. So the Queen's going to go to Royal Ascot as long as she's ambulatory to do so, and I thought that was really cool. But it's interesting that people from Brazil who you don't really, you know consider would be up for the Queen that much, they love her. So that's great.
Yeah, and Yuriko, one of those guys you mentioned the success he's had here. He's the reigning leading rider here at Woodbine. Won more than 200 races last year and more than $10 million in purses. So somebody who knows how to get it done. And Roger Atfield, we told you he's won the race 8 times. He knows how to get it done. So Tizzaslam, maybe a horse that should be on people's tickets, JT, and he's going to be a good price.
I like him. I think he's a nice horse. He's kind of got a lousy post position, but he's a good, you know, horse that can probably get the mile and the quarter. And we know that Roger Atfield's going to do everything he can to have him on his best game, and you got the best rider, and he's 10-1, so that's kind of a juicy situation.
He's a nice horse. To me, I just question whether he's good enough or really fast enough. I mean, he's a horse that's going to find himself in probably a decent position, even though he does have a challenging post position. Not a horse that's going to gun it on the front end, but probably has enough tactical speed going a mile and a quarter to stay within contention. I just wonder if this horse has that extra oomph, that extra kick that he's going to need at the mile and a quarter distance against the better three-year-olds up here in Canada. But look, again, the connections, hard to discount those connections.
Yeah, when I looked at his form, I was, you know, they started him out this year. He was off from October 22nd to March 11th, and they started him out at Tampa on the turf. And he ran fifth, got beat a length and a half. I think that was kind of a gimme race. And then the next start was here at Woodbine in the Wando, and he ran second to King in his court. Bobbled at the break, three or four wide. And it turned for home, and the chart comment said game. So that was obviously a good race. Last time out in the plate trial, lack speed, game finish. He's been finishing up good, and I'm not so sure. You know, Roger's a cagey old dude, and I'm not so sure that he's really been interested in those other races. He wants to have him at the top of his game for this race. So I think he might have a little bit more in the tank than he's shown, so to speak. I don't want to, you know, say that they haven't been training him in earnest for those other races, but I think this is the main goal, so we'll see how he does.
Yeah, we will know the answer to that question coming up shortly after 5:36 Eastern time tomorrow. Make sure you join us 4 o'clock Eastern for our coverage of the Queen's Plate presented by TwinSpires.com. We're going to get to a break momentarily, but before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's one for you. Masochistic is moving to the Baffert Barn after turnout. That's right, after finishing up some turnout time at TaylorMade Farm in Kentucky, Grade 1 winner Masochistic will be transferred to the barn of Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Co-owner Will Shamelin said on June 30th, the 7-year-old sought-after gelding has raced twice in 2017 for trainer Ron Ellis, a second-place run in the Triple Bend, which is a Grade 1, and a 13th-place finish in the Churchill Downstakes presented by TwinSpires.com. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Remember, there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than any other, you can do it with Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. Their website, BloodHorse.com, it's the thoroughbred industry's go-to site. Blood Horse Daily app, you have Blood Horse Magazine, and their social media. No one covers thoroughbred racing, breeding, and our sport like Blood Horse. For over 100 years, it's Blood Horse. And we're back. Catherine Day Phillips still to come after this break, as well as Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. A lot of things to get to. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its 5-day all turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
In today's handicapping environment, information is vital.
Biasbook.net.
Was speed holding or did the track favor closers?
Biasbook.net.
You don't have time to gather bias information for all your favorite tracks, so let us do it for you.
Biasbook.net.
Track bias notes from across the U.S. and Canada. Keeneland, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Woodbine. Track bias made easy.
Biasbook.net.
Your source for the bias horse.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5400. Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen.
winner of the Grade 1 Test Stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Crawdaddy to the front. Held at gunpoint second, T-Lev's a fight third, Crawdaddy did it.
Crawdaddy was making his second career start in the New York Stallion Series Stakes this past weekend, but guess what? The son of Darley Stallion Girolamo rallied strongly to get the victory, while another son of Girolamo, T-Lev's a fight, finished a fast closing third, making Crawdaddy your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Girolamo, a fabulously masculine-looking son of the outstanding sire of sires AP Indy, who took the 1 mile Grade 2 Jerome at 3 and the 6 furlong Grade 1 Vosburgh at 4, and is AP Indy's only Grade 1 winner at 6 furlongs. Girolamo is among the nation's leading third crop sires. Only Uncle Mo and Twirling Candy have more black type winners in 2017. Learn more about Girolamo and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They're at the top of the lane. It's Wilderness Song, and here comes last year's champion, three-year-old filly, Dance Smartly, and she wrests the lead from her entry mate inside the final furlong.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom, our producer, my beautiful wife, Michelle. We are positioned trackside here at Woodbine in Ontario, Canada, getting set for the 158th running of the Queen's Plate tomorrow. Don't forget our coverage of that race begins at 4 o'clock Eastern. That call that you just heard was the 1991 running of the Queen's Plate. It was Dance Smartly, ridden by Hall of Fame jockey Pat Day for trainer Jim Day, who is the father of our next special guest, who is Catherine Day Phillips. She is represented by two horses in tomorrow's Queen's Plate, and she's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here this morning. Catherine, welcome. Happy to have you on board.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we were talking about this a few minutes ago. You just made your way from the barn area on the backside, ran all the way around to get to us here, so we appreciate the effort.
No worries. Thank you.
Well, look, you think back on that day, of course, back in 1991, and your dad and all of his success, and, boy, that had to be pretty special to see him pull off that victory that day.
Well, it's funny, when I put the headphones on, the first thing I heard was that race call, and I wasn't really associating that you were going to be talking about it, but I was thinking back to that day and thinking back to the race, and, you know, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal day and phenomenal to be part of it.
Yeah, I think that if we didn't talk about your background and your pedigree, so to speak, I think we'd be remiss in doing that because, you know, you think about your family and mm-hmm. what they've meant to Canadian racing and what you now mean to Canadian racing, and that's pretty awesome.
Well, it's awesome. It's an awesome day for Canada. It's Canada Day, and it's kind of all coming together.
Yeah, happy Canada Day, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Two horses tomorrow. Let's talk about the two horses that you're going to saddle tomorrow. You have Guy Caballero, 20-1 upsetter of the plate trial last time out, and you have Watch Me Strut, who is a great story in his own right. Tell me about those two.
Guy Caballero is he's quite a well-bred horse. He's head of a mare that we raced in Dixie Chicken, and he seems to be coming into his own, you know, nicely. He's maturing. He's learned to relax in his races. He's finished strongly and galloped out well in his last two races this year. So we're hoping for a big performance tomorrow.
I think I read that his nickname was Chaos as a two-year-old. Is that right?
He was a little naughty. A little naughty. He would sort of hop up in the shed row when the riders would get on before training and pretty much take out any buckets or people that were in the way every day. Every single day. So
you trained horses for 20 years, Jude. You ever have a horse like that?
No, thank God. I like the ones that stand there like a statue when you saddle them. But I've seen them. I've I've seen other trainers with him, and it's not a picnic, is it?
No, he's a bit of a challenge on the pony.
He's got the greatest name for a horse ever, I think. I think that's just a fantastic name.
Guy Caballero, yeah. Or Chaos?
Guy Caballero. No, I'm not a fan of the Chaos thing, but I do like Guy Caballero. I think that's just brilliant.
Yeah. How has he matured since those days, or has he matured?
He has matured. I was thinking this week he's been very well behaved, and was almost a little concerned because he has been well behaved. But yesterday he was back to his tricks and jumping in the air, and so I'm feeling much better now.
It's funny how some horses they are better when they're a little
tense.
Tense, or, yeah. Yeah, and other times you freak out because you go, this horse is usually so relaxed that you never really know with them.
Well, as a trainer, you always hope to have them quiet, and then when they're quiet, you think, uh-oh.
What's wrong? Yeah.
Wait a minute.
One of the best fillies I ever trained, if she didn't wash out before the race, she didn't run well.
Oh.
And people would go, oh, your filly's all washed out. I said, yeah, she's going to run great today. And then you'd see her calm, and everybody, oh, she looks so great today. And you go,
forget it.
She's not in the mood.
Is he a horse that you have to spend extra time schooling in the saddling paddock because there's going to be such a big crowd and so much going on?
You know, it's really strange what bothers him. That he's perfect with. He actually comes over, he schools very, very well. It really doesn't faze him. Same with the gate. I always thought the gate would be something he'd be nervous about, and he's doesn't bother him at all. So we have schooled him a lot in the gate, especially in the two-hole. We've gone back to the gate several times, and we've gone to the quarter pole and stood and backed out there as well.
Sure.
So I think that part's covered, but that part he's good about. He just likes to jump up in the shed row and get us going a little bit.
What were your thoughts on his plate trial win, that performance?
You know, he was sitting out of it, but I saw that he's, you know, Raph had a lot of, you know, horse in hand, and then when he, you know, turned for home and he wheeled him out, I thought, oh, here we go. And you could just see his try getting longer, and he'd kind of pass a horse, and they'd look at them, and then he'd kind of get focused and go on to the next one, and, you know, he sort of took his time doing it, but I was pretty confident that he was, you know, he knew where he was going.
Well, he knew where he was going, and he went right to the winner's circle after that victory, hoping to do it again tomorrow. Watch Me Strut, your other entrant, is a great story. What, just a $7,000 yearling? And then here he is looking at an opportunity at $1 million purse.
He was, I guess, you know, anyone who's been to a horse sale, you pick out your horses and you have an idea what you're going to pay for them. And sometimes a hammer drops and you're, you know, you don't know what happened, and there you are with the horse, and that was kind of what happened with him. You know, we carried on, and he's, you know, he's done well. He didn't have a lot of speed as a two-year-old, but he was ready to run, but he wasn't really fast enough to run. So we ended up running 7/8 because there wasn't an option to go two turns. And he lumbered along and was third, and we were like, yahoo, this is fantastic. and then his next start, he woke up a little bit more, and his next start, he won. And there still wasn't a two-turn option for him. So back to, I think, a non-winners of two, going 7/8 came up again, so we ran again. And he won, was very good. So, anyhow, he's finally just this year been able to go two turns, and it really seems to be what he wants to do.
What's that feeling like when you get a horse for $7,000 that you think you might have to pay $50, $60, $100? Do you think, did I make a mistake, or
it's funny because people who are looking to maybe buy into a horse, suddenly when they see that $7,000 horse, they say, well, I'll take half.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
It's that whole thing that the hammer drops. Oh, good, I got the horse, or, oh God, shit, I got the horse.
I know. You're right. I mean, going back to the famous one of ours, it was Jambalaya. We bought Jambalaya for $2,500. And so we came home, we were so embarrassed to say we paid $2,500 for a Langfer. So we, you know, people say, how much did you pay? $25.
And, yeah.
And then suddenly, oh, well, we'll go in for half. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Why was the Queen's Plate the next logical step for Watch Me Strut? He's never run in a stakes race before. Why was this the right spot?
I mean, we'll know tomorrow if it's the right spot. But he, you know, he certainly wants distance. He wants as much ground, you know, it seems as much ground as we can give him, he'll take. So, you know, it's being a Canadian horse, a big race for $1 million, you know, he's worth taking a shot with, I think.
Talking with trainer Catherine Day Phillips here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Catherine, you've been here before. You've started five horses in the Queen's Plate. You've been close on a couple of occasions, those 2 seconds. Tell me about them. That was probably a bit heartbreaking, I can imagine.
Probably the most heart, but both were heartbreaking in different ways. A Bit of Gold was a really, really good horse. And he won the plate trial with great authority and broke out of the gate for the Queen's Plate and was as flat-footed as, you know, I've ever seen a horse. And I just, the first time he cantered by, I was like, oh, my God, this is a disaster. And he ran a tremendous race to be second, but he was a very, very good horse. And he won the second jewel of the Canadian Triple Crown and then the third After that, Mr. Farikos to you was probably not quite as talented of a horse. He had the stars aligned and he had a fabulous day. Mike Smith gave him a fabulous ride and it looked like turning for home. Everybody else was down and scrubbing and Mike was still sitting quietly and I thought, here we go, this is good. And then at the last minute, there came the lumbering leopard with outside him and he got nipped at the wire. So that was a heartbreak, but a different kind of heartbreak.
So you kind of have a sense of what that feeling's like when you think you're going to win the Queen's Plate, right?
Yep.
And you kind of have that feeling. Describe that feeling. When you get that thrill that, oh my God, this might actually happen. What's that feeling like?
Just any time you win a race, I mean, the Queen's Plate is crazy, but any time winning a race, I get a huge thrill. I jump up and down and scream, and not very ladylike at all when it comes to watching races at all. I can be in a dress and it doesn't matter. It's embarrassing, really. Every time I look over, I'll see somebody with a little, you know, camera on me, like, oh no, this is not going to be good.
So much is made about the Queen's Plate for those folks who are from here in Canada and spent most of their careers training at Woodbine or racing at Woodbine. What's so special about the Queen's Plate, other than the fact it's $1 million and it's got so much history? It seems like there's more about it than that.
I don't know. There's a mystique, I guess, that goes with it. The history, I think, that, you know, great horses have won the race and a lot lesser horses have won the race. But it's still, it's very coveted. For me, I mean, every year, sort of the world revolves around the Queen's Plate, you know, building up to the Queen's Plate, whether or not I'm in the Queen's Plate or whether I'm just watching the races with my parents or grandparents or you know, the whole world is just focused on the Queen's Plate.
Do you oftentimes go to the sales with your clients and say, we're going to find ourselves, we're looking for Queen's Plate horses, not just horses that we think are going to be good horses, but we're looking for those kinds of horses that can run in the Queen's Plate?
I think it depends on the client. Some clients are looking for horses that are, you know, quick to the races, some action early, and other horses are, people are looking for, a classic type horse. So it, you know, when you try to sort of match up what they want with the horses, so, you know, that we choose.
Yeah, it's been a little while since you've had a horse in the race. It was 2011, I guess, was your last one, right? So these past 6 years or so, how challenging has it been trying to get back here to this point?
Challenging. We had, our stable really wasn't that strong for a number of years, and it was tough. It was really tough. Racing took a bit of a downturn here at Woodbine, and all in all, it I have to say it was. It wasn't a great time. And 2 years ago, we started to get back on track. We got some nice horses. We won a nice stake race with Get Rhythm, and things started to fall back into place. And we've ended up with better horses. And we didn't have a lot of 2-year-olds last year. We only had 6 of them, and but they were pretty nice ones that we had. And so it's just kind of built up a little bit from there. And we have lovely 2-year-olds this year with a lot of pedigree. So it's fun. We're in a good spot.
6 2-year-olds. 2 of them are here.
Yeah.
At Queen's Plate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
extremely
good.
Well
that's
done.
That's a good sale. Huh?
It really, I hadn't actually thought of it like that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, very well done. That's incredible. When you think about your career and everything that you've accomplished, everything that your family's accomplished in the sport, what are some of the things that you're most proud of, Catherine?
I think to walk into the barn and see everything, moving smoothly, running well, running efficiently, everybody doing their job, I think that's, I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of we have an owner's lounge, so we have owners that come in on Saturday and they have a coffee and a donut and they're really enjoying it. And I think I enjoy watching them enjoying the whole program. That means a lot to me.
If you can win tomorrow, you're going to join Josie Carroll as the only female trainers to saddle a winner of the race. I never particularly care for those types of statistics because, I look at you as a trainer, not as a female trainer, but what does it mean, I mean, to have your name alongside Josie's in that category as a female trainer to saddle a winner of the race?
I just think it needs to happen. It needs to happen. We need to get it done. We just need to kind of get on with this. And, I think it's time.
It is time. And all the best tomorrow. We really appreciate you spending a little time here with us today. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, which is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We encourage everybody to embrace their passion and wear what they love at EmbraceTheRace.com. So we will send that up to you and go get it done tomorrow. We'll be cheering.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Good luck. From Dave Phillips here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll get to a quick break. We'll come back. We'll focus on the Summit of Speed next. We'll do that with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup. multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Find Tree Lane and Smile, and they are going at it, and they're stalked by Groovy as they come to the top of the stretch, and then it's five lengths to Bedside. Promise Now, who swings to the outside. Taylor Special there toward the inside as the field turns for home. An astonishing half, 43-3, and they're coming to the final furlong. Smile digs in. He's holding on to a short lead. Pine Tree Lane is right at his neck. Groovy is still third. A late run from Bedside Promise, and it's Smile. He's in front, and Smile is going to win it. And then it was Pine Tree Lane at Bedside Promise. Groovy, a disappointing fourth.
Tom Durkin with the call of the 1986 Breeders' Cup Sprint, and a little horse by the name of Smile getting the victory that day. This afternoon, we honor that great racehorse with the Grade 3 Smile Sprint Handicap at Gulfstream Park. It is a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Sprint Division, one of two win in your in races for the Breeders' Cup taking place in South Florida this afternoon. And the other being the Grade 2 Princess Rooney. And Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, joins us now from Hallandale Beach to talk about the Summit of Speed. Mike, happy Summit of Speed Day from Canada.
From you guys are in Canada? Wow. At least it's probably a little cooler there than it is here, right?
Yes, it probably is.
I can guarantee it is.
What's the weather like down there, Mike?
It's on the warm side. You know, it's summer here now, so but at least it looks like there'll be no rain today. It's going to be clear and sunny, so, you know, we're looking for a fast and firm track today, especially with sprint racing. It's that always helps. It's another big day here. It's a 14-race card today. We're kicking it off at 11:55, 5 to 12. So we get kicking it off in the morning, and like you guys mentioned, so this really has a feel of almost a championship meet day. You know, with the type of racing we have here, the horses that have shipped in, the jockeys and trainers that are here along with us today. And it's just a great card. You mentioned the two big races, which go as races 12 and 13 today on the 14-race card, the Smile Handicap and the Princess Rooney, which are, the, as you mentioned, the winning you're in Breeders' Cup races. We started off early, though. Third race, we already hit a stake race with a Kiss and Eight of $100,000 stake race of 5.5 furlongs. So that's, you know, you get something really good in the first half of the card, some good stake race, and, of course, the two feature races later in the day.
Yeah, it's such a great program, the Summit of Speed, and I'm so glad that you guys took it over from Calder. It's a great tradition, and a lot of talented horses show up for the Summit of Speed. You've got to be excited with the field you have this year.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. I mean, when Calder first put this on, it was, you know, a great event and had been doing well with it for years. And then in the last few years, it kind of lost its steam and just seemed wasn't going really anywhere. And once we took it over, we breathed new life into it. And as you can see, the results is you got a great betting card today. It's no doubt about it.
Yeah, a huge betting card, and it comes just prior to the 4th of July holiday, which is going to be a huge day at Gulfstream, too, because you have Freedom Fest taking place down there. Talk a little bit about that, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. So our racing schedule for the holiday is tomorrow we'll have a post time of 1:15 here. Monday we're dark, and then Tuesday for the holiday we'll be back on at 1:15 program. So we'll be running all day there, and we got a lot of things going on at the track, obviously, which culminates at night. We have a Garucci fireworks show, but we have all kinds of music and entertainment going on during the day. We have bands, we have DJs. It's just a great festive day, and we get huge crowds. July 4th is one of our premium days that we have as far as event days on our property. We'll probably see over 20,000 people come to the property during the day and night. So it's always a great day, July 4th, and looking forward to it once again.
You know, it's amazing to me. We spend a lot of time talking during the championship meet about the quality of the racing and the participants that are there. And you mentioned that today with the Summit of Speed program, it feels a lot like a championship meet type of afternoon, and rightfully so. But racing continues all summer at Gulfstream now, and it seems like the beat just continues to go on, where every time you read a press release or you go to a website and you read about Gulfstream Park, you're reading about more positive things happening. What's the key to keeping everything rolling throughout the summer when it starts to quiet down a little bit?
Well, you know, this year we added on the Twilight Fridays, which have been an absolute hit for us in many different ways. First of all, as far as our overall handle on Fridays, it's definitely picked up with the later post time, so that's been obviously a positive. Our on-track handle on Fridays have been also up from last year since we've gone to the later post time, and we've added a lot of nice little programs. We do racing bingo, and we give away some great prizes, and we do losing ticket drawings, and then we have a 7 o'clock right after the last race. We'll have a band going on Friday nights. Last night we must have had about 500 people in a local rock band that was really, really good. And so we'll have that going on through September 1st. So we have plenty more of those Fridays to go. And, you know, we have other things going on the property to bring people on. So, of course, horse racing is always the lead, but we have a lot of other things going on. Last night we had what we call Family Fun Night Friday Family Fun Night, which goes on out in our village. So see a lot of families, a lot of kids, and, you know, that's nice to see. So we really, you know, draw from a lot of different demographics. A lot of people in the summer are looking, you know, especially those that are, you know, not going away, and they're kind of stuck here looking for things to do, and we try to make things, you know, inexpensive for people so that they can enjoy themselves and come on out and have a great day. And then, of course, you know, we have all the sire stakes coming up, so we'll have one day in August and two in September, so that's all the Florida bred two-year-old racing, and that's a hot time, and looking forward to going through that. And then, of course, we run right into the GPW meet, and then we'll be back here on December 2nd for the championship meet. And then one of the big things we're adding this year is, as you guys have mentioned, and we talk a lot about it, of course, on HRN Spanish, is the Caribbean Classic. That'll be here on December 9th. And we're already working really hard on that, getting that going. That's going to be the first time taking place here in the United States. So just another, big event, another big challenge for us. But we're up to it, and we're looking forward to it, and it'll be another great year.
Yeah, the Clásico del Caribe, and that is one race that you're going to hear live on HRN and Espanol.com. You're also going to hear this afternoon's Summit of Speed races on HRN and Espanol.com, and that kicks off at 4:30 Eastern. Don't forget you can join Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma live from Gulfstream Park right after we finish up at 10 a.m. Eastern, also on HRN and Espanol.com, and that show, of course, all presented by our friends at Gulfstream Park. And Mike, can't thank you enough for that support and for what we do here on the network. Appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the Summit of Speed, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys, and as always, we love the partnership, and have a great day up in Canada, and we'll see you soon.
All right, you got it.
Take it easy, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Nyman with us here on HRN, and big day down there, and of course, we're not covering it because we are here on the English side of things, looking at the Queen's Plate tomorrow, but they'll have you covered in Spanish, so all of our Spanish listeners throughout HRN Nation can enjoy that coverage of the Summit of Speed later today. We'll get to one more break. We'll come back and look ahead to what's happening here tomorrow on Queen's Plate Day, and we'll get you set for a very busy Sunday. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, all presented by Kentucky Downs for the month of July. Happy to have you back with us live from Woodbine in Toronto. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, Jeff Bloom, just about 10 yards or so from this turf course, which is on the outside of the Tapeta surface. If you've never been to Woodbine, the Tapeta surface is where they will contest tomorrow's Queen's Plate, $1 million, the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. 5:36 Eastern is the post. There will be 13 Canadian-bred three-year-olds going to the post in there. And the morning line favorite, Holy Helena, a girl taking on the boys, should be a good one. And we'll have that coverage for you tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, presented by TwinSpires.com. Been a fun morning. Covered a lot of ground here today, gentlemen.
We did. It's a fun time to come up here for the Queen's Plate. Thank you for the technical adjustments. It is. We've talked about it a lot, and it's a big day. And it's not just a big day, it's a festival, and it's all week long, and it's fully embraced by the local community, and there's all kinds of talk going on the backstretch about each of the horses that are participating in the Queen's Plate. And, you know, there's a couple of horses that are running that you look at and you say, I'm not so sure why they should be in this race, but anything can happen. And anybody and everybody that's based up here wants to run in the Queen's Plate.
Yeah, it really is a universal thing as you walk around the backside. And I didn't get to ask Catherine this when she was on, but, you know, the backside here is very unique. It's a different feel than almost any backside that I've ever been to. It seems like all the employees are in a good mood, and the horses are happy, and it's really a horse racing utopia. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but that's kind of the kind of feeling I get when I'm on the backside here.
It's true, and that's not just true of Woodbine, but I think that's throughout Canada. As you know, I spent a number of years riding races in Canada, mostly in Western Canada, in British Columbia, Alberta, and in Manitoba, and the feeling on the backstretch is it's more of a community. There's relationships from the jockeys to the exercise riders, the grooms, the trainers, and everybody's sharing in the same experience. And it's, I don't know, I don't want to call it more lighthearted, but I think all of the participants embrace the idea of spending time together and not just at work, but for play. And you do feel that very much so when you walk on the backstretch.
Host,
so be it.
I didn't know. Is this where I'm supposed to jump in at this point? Like, I was just enjoying the conversation. I concur.
Wow.
There you have it.
Yeah, it is cool. I mean, it's a neat place. It's a neat atmosphere, and we couldn't be happier with our experience here at Woodbine. The second consecutive year we've been here to broadcast this race, and our thanks to Jim Lawson, who is the CEO here at Woodbine, and Alex Fanti and his entire team, John Siskos and Keith McCalmont, and everything that they do. They've been great with us and great help in putting this broadcast together, and can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, and to a person, every single one of those names that you mentioned, you know, it's so true. They're so caring, so giving, and so you know, appreciative of folks coming up here and supporting their product, and you're happy to do it because they treat you well, they treat you the right way, and it's all genuine.
So what's coming up here on HRN? Well, not only the Queen's Plate tomorrow, but then we get set for our hugely popular Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, which begins on Saturday, July 22nd. That is all presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. And every single Saturday during the month of Saratoga, we will be live at the spa to bring you exclusive radio coverage of all of those major stakes, including the Whitney and the Alabama and the Travers. You're going to hear them all with us right here on HRN. We'll make a trip to California, Del Mar for the Pacific Classic. We'll bring you that coverage in mid-August, and then we will head back to Belmont Park, where we'll bring you coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day from Belmont and Santa Anita. And then, of course, we segue right into Keeneland and all the big races on Fall Stars weekend before we head westward back to Del Mar for our Breeders' Cup coverage, which is exclusively presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. So yes, an awful lot of things to look forward to here on the network this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Saratoga, very special racing. Looking forward to doing the Pacific Classic with Jeff in my old stomping grounds in his current home. So it's going to be fun, and And, of course, Traverse Day. Nothing like Traverse Day.
No, nothing like Traverse Day. And, of course, people can see a complete broadcast schedule on our website. That Road to the Breeders' Cup schedule is there, horseracingradio.net. You can follow us on social media, at HRRN on Twitter. Also, our Spanish broadcast team, at HRRN en Español on Twitter as well. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and from Briss, who was with us. Eurico Da Silva, who took the time to join us on the backside yesterday to talk about his mount, Tis a Slam, in this year's Queen's Plate. Really fun interview with Eureka. Catherine Day Phillips, who was with us just a short time ago, and, of course, Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. Big racing everywhere around the country this weekend. It's not just here in Canada or in Florida. Huge weekend at Belmont Park as well as they get set for a big 4th of July festival. Should be a lot of fun to follow racing. And, of course, on the West Coast, too, with Santa Anita.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. Summertime racing is the best there is.
All right, we're back tomorrow. Don't forget 4 o'clock Eastern is our broadcast time for the Queen's Plate, presented by TwinSpires.com. The post time for the Queen's Plate, 5:36 Eastern. Make sure you're with us then. Should be a lot of fun, gentlemen. Looking forward to it, Jay Bloom.
Can't wait.
Sounds like it. JT, good stuff, my friend.
Yeah, good fun show. Morning. Absolutely.
Fun morning. All right, for our producers, Lee Della Pina back in our Lexington studios, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, pushing all the buttons on site. For Jude and for Jeff, I'm Mike Pena. Until next time, well, hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.